Okay.
Well,
Anyway,
Ben, what's on your mind this morning besides the insanity of big cities?
Okay, you'll be happy to know that I requested to be, I was invited to be on the board of Entrepreneurs Organization without even asking, thankfully. And I just invited myself onto the Bernard Zell Day School Board at Anche Emmett, which I'm going to get information on. I'm sure they'd be delighted to have another sucker. No, I'm just kidding. So, but I'm going to get information at the board of Bernard Zell. So I promised you I would hit up the president of Bernard Zell, who I have a relationship with, and ask her about it. And I reviewed your video, which of course reminds us that we need to be on two boards. Guys, this goes for all of us. There's no reason that any of us cannot be on boards, two boards. Okay. So think about what I'm going to make a scorecard. That's a little KPI that Rob talked about, in his video, from week 10, which is, getting on a couple of boards. I don't care. I'm not going to do the EO one for 6 months. I don't plan to do any of these until we're done with the Schwab transition, guys, to be realistic. But if you can identify two that you want to be involved with, that you know that you can be involved with, let's make that a KPI for our next we're going to have a scorecard for our next Rob Knapp call with a little supernova game where people tell us what boards they're going to join. Okay. This is Dylan, I haven't talked about this with you. I've talked about it with John Brick and John Pavlichko, which I know that they're down with. We could talk separately on it, but
sure.
Dylan, are you down with this plan?
Yeah, 100%. I need to give it some thought in terms of which ones would be most strategic or most, aligned with me. But yeah, at a high level, 100% on board with that plan.
Okay, great. So we're all on the same page. Pop, is there any board that you want to join? Come on.
I had to unmute there. I will seriously give it some thought. Obviously I used to do that thing, but I haven't done it for years. So let me give it some thought. Okay. Who would I join? Okay. It has to be something I'm interested in. So that's
has to be.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The
more the passion, the better. I mean, the bigger your passion, the better. If you've been, if your family has a history of a particular problem, heart disease, cancer, diabetes, that easy for the charity. If you want, if you're big into fixing the problem of diversity, go get them, or if you love the, I suggested one arts organization and one charitable organization. And the reason I picked the art for somebody like you, Shelley, is, more senior people, is that's where the money is. Okay.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. 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 We are members of the Art Institute, the Chicago Symphony, and a wonderful theater group in Glencoe, Illinois, Writers Theater, which
there
I
we have it.
So let me see what I can do there. Okay.
And I don't have any arts one. So maybe I don't know what I would do. I would do something with music. Rob, I'm a failed musician.
Amateur musician.
Oh, okay. Rob, I was big into the performing arts growing up and I played, the saxophone. I was a pretty good, amateur. Saxophonist. So if anything, I would get into music, and musical development. There's other stuff that I've been involved with. I don't know if I want to get involved with, but it's in my neighborhood. I'm very much involved with, there's this beautification project going on in the neighborhood that, my friend leads up. I don't know if he has a board. I can ask him. He would be delighted for me to do something with that. Basically, there's artists from all over the world that are being brought to my neighborhood to do sides of buildings and stuff like that. It's outdoor art. And also they're beautifying the what's called the Beeline, which is an old train rail in the neighborhood that I don't know if it's still being used. It might still be used. I think it is. But it's basically beautifying the bridges and stuff like that, the viaducts. Kind of a neat project. They just involved Oprah Winfrey a block away from my house, where they did a whole Oprah thing because Oprah's from the neighborhood. And, they're involved in cool stuff. So that's the closest thing I have with the arts. Immediately, but Bernard Zell is, it's education.
That's a very good one, by the way. Remember, we have some clients, even today, who remain nameless, but one of them is quite significant today because I was treasurer at my synagogue. Okay. So,
right. We know the business. We know that you've done this successfully in the past. About, I think we figured out like 5 or 10% of the business comes from that.
Right.
So I think it's like 10% of the business pop.
Okay, great.
And don't forget your spouses.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Seriously, good, you just take it and just do the numbers, and all of a sudden you've gone from, you're representing on 8 boards to being represented on 16 boards. So
that's brilliant. That's brilliant, Rob. Okay. So I'm putting it on my personal list here. But that'll be a KPI we're going to do. Rob, I think we have one more weekly call, and then we're going monthly after this, because I think it's 12 weekly and then goes monthly.
Right. Is that correct? That's correct.
Okay. So guys, give it some thought. At least identify what you want. Identify 2 or 3 yourself an alternative boards that you would like to be involved with by our next Rob Knapp call, and we'll all share next week.
And guys, think of this just think of it the same way you would niche marketing, right? I mean, it really is niche marketing. It's just, we call it giving back to the community, but in reality, what you're doing is your social prospecting, but your niche marketing. I mean, this could be a company, could be Abbott Labs, right? That's a niche. Well, the symphony is a niche, right? Or the opera, lyric opera, that's a niche. And what you're doing is saying to yourself, what is in the niche? Is the average person in the niche going to meet my minimum?
Yes, that's very important.
Okay, think of a lyric opera, right? None of our people in our industry want to get near the opera, okay? So that's a perfect thing to get involved in. Mm-hmm. And those people, you'll never meet them, mm-hmm, except through the lyric opera.
Right, right.
They're really wealthy and really important, but you will not get near them socially except through an organization like that. And I'm not saying that because you don't run in those circles, but it's because you don't run in those circles.
Right.
Well, yeah. I mean, the Chicago Symphony, you've got the former governor.
Right. So it may require that you step up with a nice gift, right? But I would say 25,000 would probably be enough. It doesn't have to be 200,000.
Right.
Right. And, they'll give 200,000, but you don't have to. You give the work. You be the worker, and you be the guy that's willing to become chairman. The key is that you're willing to become chairman. Mm-hmm. And you work for it. You work on it. And you make friends. Mm-hmm. So think of it as running for office when you get on a board like that. Mm-hmm. You make friends on the board. There's always going to be a CPA and an attorney. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a banker. And then there's going to be people that love music. Mm-hmm. All right. You love music. So that would be a perfect match. And you actually can understand music, and you can tell the difference between a good orchestra and a bad orchestra. So, I was on you know, I was very involved with the Lyric Opera and the Art Institute, and there's a wonderful dance company there, which we were involved in.
Yes, yes, I know it.
And we used to give $100,000 each a year. And but I couldn't get anybody else to give the money. Mm-hmm. Literally. That's how interested our people were in the arts when I was with Merrill Lynch. Mm-hmm. So it's a gold mine if you like it and you're willing to do it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's gotta be something that we're interested in. Let's continue. Let's see here. I've got a follow up today with our prospect. The one that we saw, in December, he went to Florida. I called him when he was in Florida. He might, I don't know if, you know, I'm afraid the guy, you know, is not a great prospect, even though he's got a lot of money, because his memory seems to be not that great at this point.
Well, look at he bottom line, he called Ben back 5 times, forgetting he had called Ben back 1 time. Okay.
Or something. He couldn't operate his phone or something. I don't know. It was weird. Okay. So regardless, I don't know. We don't know, you know, I don't know how much his kids have influence over him or what, but, I'm going to call him back today because he said that, okay. Here's what was his response. I'm in Florida, which he was potentially going to go to. He was trying to go to anyway. I haven't given it much thought. Let's get together when I'm back in Chicago. So his mentality is always let's get together. Well, getting together is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. The question is, how do we drive it at a close? I've engaged an alliance that's built to support family offices, and through the Schwab Family Office Services, Rob, I found something, and they said that basically you've got to think about engaging on a planning basis. Okay. So the guy gives you, you know, $25,000 on a retainer for you to do hourly work. Okay, it's different. It's really different. Basically, they were suggesting to get on a retainer with them, and they kind of treat you like a law office, basically. And he's like, for example, I know what some of his issues are. He says he wants to retire. Number one, he wants $1 million in income, and he wants to retire. He's probably worth $200 million. I don't know what he's. Where he, you know, he's got to share. He said he wanted to share a balance sheet and a tax return. I'm just thinking out loud. And he would do that if he decided he was going to work with us. So I don't know how you decide you're going to work with us. And then I don't know how you logically get to hiring somebody based on his thought process. But tax return, and balance sheet would be coming. He's like, basically he's, you know, he thinks he's hot shit because he's worth a couple hundred million or whatever, I'm guessing. And so, you know, he doesn't just share his information with anybody. Right. But how are you going to help him if you don't share information?
Right. Right?
So Maury, how are we going to figure out how to help you if we don't have any information? We got to start with something and we can begin to see how we might help you. Right.
Well, a Zoom call, I mean, is like visiting in person. It's perfect. I mean, you can share documents, you can talk, you can have a cup of coffee together, you can, you know.
I don't know if he knows how to operate that, but maybe his assistant can help him with that.
Right. So set up a close for a Zoom call and find out if you've got a problem. I mean, if he has memory issues, you know, that's like, stay away.
Okay, fine. Right. Okay, fine. And that's actually a good, and I can just leave it at that, and then I don't suffer through this prospecting process.
Well, he's either a prospect or not. At this point, he's a suspect, and he becomes a prospect, or you get rid of him.
That's it.
He's like, no, you don't waste weeks on somebody that's a suspect.
That's right.
They got to be a suspect. They've got to be willing to meet with you.
Well, he's willing to meet with me in person.
Then okay? You go to see him. If he won't do a Zoom, you go to see him.
Fine. If he won't do a Zoom, you go to see him.
Right. Assuming that you qualify. I wouldn't see him unless he's qualified. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I know that I know where he is as far as what competition he's at. Okay. He wants performance on his assets. I know that. He's got a girlfriend, that will be up Schitt's Creek if he dies. He needs to solve that problem. Okay. Performance measurement. I've got great aggregating performance measurement software. And I even know how to do things manually if he wants to pay for the service. Lori, his girlfriend is basically, you know, his wife's has been in a long-term care facility for 30 years. And so he has a significant other. And, he has not provided for her, financially. So if something happens to him, I don't know. He's pure chaos. It's pure chaos. Okay. So I know that there's this issue. This is why my client referred us to him in part. Okay. He said, this is the issue. He says, my client says, let it play out. That's my client's comments. Okay.
He's also your center of influence. He's a client and a center of influence.
He's an untrained COI that needs to be trained better. Okay. So
that's great. Good. Yeah. You get it.
Yeah, I get it. So, I've identified something like, I could be like, look at, you want to give your girlfriend $15 million? Cause that's our minimum, you know, and we have an account and he would give his girlfriend $15 million if he had it liquid. I don't know how liquid this guy is, right? Cause he's into real estate and into whatever these people into real estate, you know, you don't know how liquid they are, right? They could be completely levered and have nothing liquid. So, you know, I don't know. And then the question becomes, Rob, if I do engage with the guy for, you know, I don't know how much, you know, does the guy take up all my time? How does he affect the business for 1 or 2% of revenue? Does he take
that's why you go and you do an analysis. You're interviewing him and you tell him how you work and if he's going to listen. If he's going to take up a lot of time, it isn't a matter of time. It's a matter of compensation.
Uh-huh. Okay? But if we're producing, if our revenue is...
What if you charge him $1 million a year?
That's a good question. Okay. I don't know if he'll pay it, but let's say if he'd pay $400,000 a year. Okay.
That's my point. If he pays enough, it's worth the time.
Okay, I guess I would just hire then. I don't know what to say because if let's say he does pay, you know, $450,000 a year, right? Yep. And that's about a 15% increase in our revenue. The question is for 15% of our revenue, is he taking up 50% of our time?
I mean, you don't give him 50% of your time.
Right. Okay.
You give him 15% of your time.
Fine. That could work, actually. Because the amount of revenue that he could bring as a percentage of our total revenue would be something in that 10 or 15% range as far as an addition to the business.
Right.
So he gets 10 to 15% of our time.
Right. That's all. Just do the, keep the math in mind all the time.
Okay. All right. That's good. I'll cut through it. I'm not going to call his cell phone. I'm going to call his assistant. I'm going to call the firewall, be like, you know, I know how to talk to her. So, and I'll say something about how Maury wanted to get together when he got back from Chicago and da, da, da. I'll just ask, does he ever use Zoom? And I'll take it from there. I'll talk to the assistant about Zoom. Right.
Right.
Okay. And that's that. And I'll just say,
you can get a lot done privately on Zoom. Okay.
Yep. Yep. I like it. Okay. That's a good solution. We just came up with,
yeah, you just think, I mean, look, in the world we're going into, think telephone, Zoom, then in-personal meeting. Don't go to any in-person meeting in the future you know, I know we're 12-4-2, okay?
Yeah.
But Zoom has changed the world. I think it's become so efficient. Your productivity can go through the roof. I think you can handle everything as well as in person. You don't waste 3 days, okay? And so I think you use Zoom as much as you can. I'm thinking, honestly, 12-4-2, it's really going to be 12-4. You know, I think every call should be Zoom, and I think every call should have an agenda, and every call should have an executive summary. And
we definitely have agenda and summary down.
If you can meet with your clients once a year in person with Zoom, you've changed the dynamics. I mean, I think you need to see them once a year. I don't think you need to see them twice a year in person.
I like that. I mean, I can live with that, right?
Yeah. I just think it's unrealistic when it comes to the ability to communicate. I mean, you can see them. You can get their body language. You can, you know, but if you're talking to them in an effective way on Zoom every month, that's going to be so much more powerful than just a phone, you know, 8 phone calls plus, you know, 2, you know, the old 12-4-2 is,
right.
I'd still want to use the 12-4-2 model.
Yeah.
I just want it to be basically 12 Zoom calls is what, with one in person.
You would do Zoom with every call.
I do Zoom with every call. I don't coach anymore except for a couple people on the telephone.
Okay.
And the difference is dramatic. I mean, you guys aren't, I don't see you today. But typically I see the team and I watch the body language between the players, and it's very informative for me. Now, Ben, I've seen you guys once, right? And the chances of, you know, of us doing that again are, you know, you want to pay me $10,000, I'll come. But you can get a year's worth of coaching for that. Okay. So why? Right? It's the same with you. You're going to take 3 days to go see somebody. The price of poker then goes way up, right?
Right. Well, I guess the question then becomes, do I cut my fees because I'm not, you know, at the end of the day, I stopped traveling.
You don't cut your fees.
Yeah. Okay.
No, but if they desperately want you to see you twice a year, then I'd go. Cause to me, the in-person meetings are do a couple of things. They solidify the relationship. And that's when you get your introductions.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
So let's pivot. That brings up a good point. So Pav, I'm not putting you on the spot. if you're on mute, come off for a moment. John Pavlichko is not on the call.
No.
Okay. Was he ever on the call? Yeah, he was. You never saw him?
Mm-mm.
I saw him say hi. He said hi earlier. Okay. I'll have to get with him. He probably is taking a phone call. He could be taking a phone call because he's covering the lines. We'll have to decide, you know, which ones are going to be Zoom, coming up. I know you're saying do every call on Zoom. You know, I'll start making a push for Zoom. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. I just think it's so powerful.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like it. You can put together your board, all your board meetings, by the way, will all be on Zoom for a while. You know, so you can join a board and it doesn't take that much time.
Okay.
You know, don't think of it, I got to go and meet all these people and travel.
Yeah, it's a matter of setting it up and so on. I'm not traveling right now because of COVID, but.
Right. So
I got to set it up.
I mean, you want to do as much as you can now. and then convince people that they don't need to do the in-person stuff.
The issue is I there's a lot of work involved in setting up a Supernova practice, and I'm now down one of my associates. So one of my associates, for personal reasons, is no longer with the firm. That's Dan Anderson, and he was our branding person.
Yep.
And so I'm down a man. The Schwab transition project is in shambles, Rob. I've cut back the Schwab transition project to, I'm going to move half the business this quarter and half of it next quarter, which is a quarter behind. So that's that. Dylan is helping us with the spreadsheet. He's going to finish his contributions today to automate certain data fields. John is helping with, Brick is helping with, the trading system that right. we have to get online. And then Pavlichko is making the DocuSigns, and then I'm on the front end making sure that the data going into the DocuSigns is correct before we have a DocuSign.
Right.
And I'm in touch with the clients gathering any data that's missing. So basically, it's definitely, I'm happy that we're transitioning to monthly phone calls, because we don't have a lot of time to dedicate to your program, unfortunately, right now. Pressure's okay, but I don't want, you know, self-inflicted stress right now.
Right.
So pressure will be performed well under. Stress is something we inflict on ourselves. So, we'll touch base on the board, thoughts next week. I don't want to, overwhelm the team with too many additional assignments right now, because we're not getting what we need to done. We have a portfolio review year-end report that needs to go out this week, and a quarterly letter, which I did delegate. I then involved, somebody to help edit and so on, which, you know, I think has slowed us down. Regardless, we didn't have enough hands on deck anyway, so it didn't matter. I mean, we couldn't have pushed it forward if we wanted to. So, the letter's got to go out this week. I don't know how much, you know, we want to talk about this, but basically we outperformed by over 50% with our stocks in 2020 and had about 10% less risk than the stock market. The bonds actually underperformed treasuries by about 50%, by over 50% with more risk. So the bonds underperformed naturally to the panic room, you know, button treasuries, which always go up when there's a crisis, and are horrible investments otherwise. And we can explain that, but that's basically in a nutshell, that was the year. We outperformed by about 10% on a 15% return for the stock market. So we had, you know, We had a really good year. We obviously want to get that out. I'm making sure that they have their returns attached to their emails, which I haven't done for COVID derailed us from that. So I'm just going to make sure that their returns are attached so they can see how well they did for the year. Basically we look awesome, Rob, and we look awesome since inception. Everybody's match or beaten the market net of fees. And they get a whole bunch of extra services included for that. So we pay for ourselves, outperform slightly. It pays for our fee, and we give them everything under the sun that we possibly can, which includes financial planning, you know, estate planning, insurance planning, which they only pay if they, you know, have something to do. Right. You name it. All the things we do are included. So, you know, the investments are paying for the planning business with slight outperformance. And so I don't even know how to put that, you know, where I can do that in a compliant, you know, way, that basically we're paying for ourselves. You know, I don't know how to phrase that any better. Do you have an idea about how to market that?
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that I used to do is say once a year, put down, just kind of remind the client of all the different ways that you manage to save them money.
Hmm. So talk about like the CARES Act, like we returned $500,000 on the CARES Act to IRA.
Right. I mean, that's the problem is you don't keep track of the way you save the client money. So they see you as a, you know, they look at your fee and they see you as a cost center. You want to be more like the attorney that saves them a ton of money on their taxes, and on their litigation. So, I mean, it can, think of the money that you've saved for people by doing estate planning, right? If something would, let's say all your clients died tomorrow, husbands and wives, the amount of money that you save them on taxes would be dramatic. Okay? The fact that you have, I mean, I bring it down to everything to you know, ATM fees, down to, you know, doing better with interest on checking accounts and think, you know, the old things that we used to do. But municipal bonds versus taxable bonds, tax-free money market funds, just being always aware of what they're doing, maximizing their 401k, maximizing their IRAs, just attention to detail.
Yeah.
Setting up, you know, 529 accounts for the kids that accumulate tax-free. All that stuff, which is intellectual capital that you bring, you take for granted. And yet, if they did it themselves and they paid, you know, they just saved money like they used to do in the old days instead of using tax deferred accounts, they would be way behind. So there's things you do every day that you just have to remind them periodically of what you did. And that's a perfect example to, you know, not doing your required minimum distributions, keeping that money. What did that money earn this year versus being distributed? Right? And stock selection, the performance of your portfolio, that extra 10% paid the fees. I mean, if it was a hedge fund, they'd take 2% plus 20% of the profit. What would that be
right.
your port? What would the cost if they had put their money in a hedge fund? What would that cost be versus what you did? And you probably right. outperformed 90% of the hedge funds out there.
Right. I'm sure we did.
Okay. So I don't think you don't need to brag. You can just talk facts.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think about that, Pop? Because everything I gave Phil was from facts. We are trying to talk about our accomplishments.
Right.
My dad
right.
thought it was bragging and it would basically piss people off.
It has to be toned down, which I know how to do, by the way, using a lot of what he wrote. remember, he's not from the business. He doesn't understand compliance.
I sent it to the compliance officer, but I'm not sure. I mean, to the compliance, you know, assistants. But I'm not sure that there was, that's just minor nuances. So,
I know how to use what he said with a slightly different tone. That's it. The fellow is a professor, so you know professors profess. That's where the name comes from. So, but he knows. We told him what we were doing, and he knows us. And he said, believe me, Rob, if I sent this to you, you would have said you can't use it. Okay.
Right. I understand.
We don't have to put him down, Pop. That's not the point.
I'm not putting him down. What the whole point is, he's not from this business. He wants to help us sell ourselves. Okay. And you can do it in more subtle ways. That's all.
Okay. So it sounds like you need to do that today. Because otherwise this thing's not going to move forward.
Okay.
Okay. Nobody else can be on it. Everybody else is fully extended for the day.
Okay, fine. I'll take care of it.
And I'm sure Phil is fully extended for the day too. God knows what he has to do today.
Right.
Okay. What I do is I would communicate with him. Let me have your entire draft of what you have right now so I can edit off of that. Okay. And then just say, I'm going to give a stab at it now.
Okay.
Okay. But you have to actually coordinate and get his latest draft. I don't know if he did anything last night, because if you're working off of a bad draft, it's very bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Ben, I wouldn't confuse you know, don't do try and do too much. If it's a year-end review, make it a year-end review. And if you're going to talk about performance, talk about performance. And you can use risk-adjusted performance. All right? Mm-hmm. So in a different letter or at a different 1242, you talk about the ways that you have been able to save them money.
Yeah.
All right. So here's the way that we typically have saved our clients money. And you give them six different things that you've done. And you know, for you, Mr. Client, that adds up to $100,000. And that, you know, you paid us $40,000. So I think, you know, in a lot of ways, we're paying for ourselves.
Right. Okay. In a lot of ways, we're paying for ourselves. So you like the way I say it. That's a good start. That's cool. That's cool. Let's see here. I'm just filing my notes on the prospect who I'll call. Let's see here. Anything else you would like to discuss with us from week 10 or 11? I don't know how we're supposed to be done here.
I mean, 10 and 11 focus in on leadership. You know, making a folder for each member of your team and meeting with them monthly and going through their 1242, in terms of going through their critical objectives, making sure that you understand what their goals are, personal and professional, and that you are their mentor and coach in helping them grow. So that is it's a step that most teams never take. They're always too busy to meet with their teammates. And yet, you know, wouldn't it have been nice when you were working at your former firm if the manager had met with you once a month?
Okay. Speaking of which, Dylan, when did you invite me this week to our weekly, our monthly?
I need to put that on the calendar today. I'll do that today.
Yeah. Why don't you remind Pav since he's not on the phone call?
Oh, Pav, I'm on the phone call. Okay. I'm on the phone call.
Pav, send me your time this week, please.
Yeah.
For half an hour.
I'm free anytime. So you want to do it after 5 or what?
Sure.
What time?
Sure. That's fine.
Okay. So the idea, guys, is to put it on there on a monthly basis. And it
Wednesday, guys, the only time I have a 5 o'clock PT. So Wednesday, I can't do it at 5 or even at 4:30.
Okay, got it.
Okay, so whoever makes up the calendar, they make up the time, find a mutually beneficial time for both of you, and you do this.
By the way, guys, I'm tired of scheduling this and asking you guys twice to do things. Just make a repeating monthly calendar invite.
That's it.
On it.
That's what I was going for.
Thank you. Thank you, Rob.
1242. It's just another 1242, okay?
Yeah. That makes sense.
Right.
Normally I could see everybody except me talking. We're just on, only Rob is alive, quote unquote. The others are all pictures or blanks. Is there some reason for that?
Why are we talking about this?
Because if we're going to do Zoom calls, we have to see each other talking. I'm going to try to get it.
We never see you and you want to see me, I can turn my video on, but.
No. Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
She's turning your video on. It's fine. We're good. You guys, look, the last 2 weeks are focused on social prospecting and leadership and I can tell by the anxiety in your voice that you need all the time you can get to get this project underway and get back to work.
Yeah, exactly.
So we've used our power and that's perfect. Go get them. Yeah. Knock them dead.
I'm sorry. You said what?
I said, go knock them dead.
What? The Schwab transition thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go have fun. Yeah, get back to work.
All right, fine. All right.
See you guys.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye, Rob.